You are a masterpiece. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are created by him and through him, and he has continued to work with you to become the masterpiece that God has created you, wants you to be, to do the good works that he has created you to do. And it was kind of interesting after the service on Sunday, last Sunday. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Troy. It seems like his humor. I can't remember exactly who it was, but he came up to me after the service, and he said something about, you know, I made the mention about going to Annie's Pots and just thanking her for helping the goofball pastor with his message this week and stuff like that. And I think it was Troy came up and says, "You're not a goofball pastor. You are a cracked pot." and he said that. Was that you? I thought it was. It seemed like you. So that's kind of loud. Turn that down because I'm blowing my own ears out. I got to thinking about it. That's true. I am kind of a cracked pot. But he's still working with this cracked pot. He's still shaping it. He's still working with the cracks. There's some bumps and some bruises and some bad spots and tough spots, but he's still working with it. I feel like I'm a work in progress. I'm a master priest in progress. And at times, I don't necessarily feel like I'm a masterpiece. You know what I mean? I feel much less of a masterpiece than I'm sure God looks on me. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. They hear the idea, they hear the truth that you are God's masterpiece, but we don't necessarily feel like a masterpiece. We feel kind of broken. We feel kind of bruised, beat up, maybe not worthy in a lot of ways. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people from doing those things that God has created this masterpiece to do, because we think, I'm not quite there yet. I haven't got that victory yet. I'm not there. I asked Nathan this morning when I was thinking about this cracked pot. I said, there's some statue out there. I can't remember. What is its name?
It's called the Venus.
Venus, the Venus. Who knows what the Venus statue is? Raise your hand if you know what the Venus. Wow, I'm impressed. The Venus statue is that statue, you'll know as soon as I describe it to you, is that white statue that has no arms. No arms at all. I mean, they're chopped off right about at the shoulder. And in my unartiness, my question was, so was it made without arms? Or did they get broken off? And it was made with arms. You guys realize that, right? The sculptor, whoever he was, didn't just create this beautiful sculpture and thought, let's just cut the arms out right here. No, he didn't do that. There were arms on it originally, and they're broke off. So you've got a masterpiece with broke off arms. You know what that masterpiece is worth with broke off arms? I mean, you talk about a cracked pot. I mean, this is a broken sculpture. You know what that broken sculpture with no arms is worth? Over $1.5 billion. $1.5 billion. So if we as humans look at a broken sculpture and put a value of a billion, I can't even imagine $1.5 billion on a broken sculpture, how much more does God value a cracked pot? I'm going to be breaking this morning from our small group study about what you're going to be studying this week in the small groups. I'm breaking from it a little bit because I think there's some other things that need to be, some other truths about who you are besides these labels that we need to understand. You're not just a masterpiece. You're not just a masterpiece that was created for God to do great works, to do good works. You're not just a masterpiece that has great value. But God gives you another truth of who you are. And that truth comes from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, there's a neat little word in here within this passage that I'm going to read to you that is really pretty cool. Who God says you are. Not only are you a masterpiece with great value, even though you're not complete yet, but this is who he also says you are. Because I think a lot of us think we're this broken masterpiece or this incomplete or this, you know, bruised or hurt or incapable masterpiece. But this is what he says about this masterpiece of, that you are. What then shall we say in verse 31 of chapter 8 of Romans? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who testifies, who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Look at verse 7. 37. No, in all these things, in all these hardships, in all these persecution, in this famine, in this nakedness, in this danger, in all this trouble that we face, it says, no, in all these things, we are, listen to what it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Did you hear that? We crackpots, we masterpieces, we who God has created, we who God loves, we whom God has called to be his children, we are not just a masterpiece, but we are more than conquerors. Now you gotta understand, the word that's, I'm going Greek on you here just a little bit, the word that's used for this idea of conquerors is Niko. And Niko means this very simply. Niko means to be a winner, a victor, an overcomer, or a conqueror. Okay? But Niko is not the word that is used here in Romans. It doesn't say, no, in all things we are more, it doesn't say, no, in all things we are a victor, or no, in all things we are a winner, or no, in all things we are an overcomer or a conqueror. It doesn't say that. The word that's used here is hooper Niko, like hyper Niko. It means you are not just a victor. You are not just a winner. You are not just an overcomer or a conqueror. You absolutely will destroy the enemy. Devastate your opponent. Completely annihilate any force that is going to go up against you. He says, in all these things, we are hyper Niko, hyper victorious, completely. Cool. It reminds me of the idea of when they're crossing the Red Sea and the Egyptians are coming on behind them. And there's going to be this, you know, they think there's going to be this big battle. Not only does God destroy, he completely what? Annihilates the Egyptians. Horse, carriages, soldiers, they're all gone. Wiped out. He says, in the battles that we face, you are not just going to win, you are going to annihilate the enemy. You are going to completely overcome. That's your name. You are an overcomer. You are the overcomer. You are more than conquerors. Well, that's great to say it, Eldon. It's wonderful to say it. But what have I conquered? what are we fighting? Because it feels like I'm losing a lot of battles. Does anyone else feel like that? Man, I feel like I'm the only... Kim, I appreciate your honesty, because sometimes I feel like maybe I'm the only one that's fighting these battles. Maybe I'm just preaching myself. But sometimes I feel like I'm losing battle after battle after battle. And when I read things like that I am more than a conqueror, I feel like, man, I'm missing something here. Because I got things that are messed up in my life that I don't feel like I have victory over, let alone annihilating these things in my life. What is he talking about? What are we battling? Take a look with me in John. John chapter 16. Says this very plainly. Jesus says it in no uncertain terms. In John chapter 16, verse 33, if you want to back up to verse 33, to verse 33, it says, I have told you these things. Verse 33 of John chapter 16, I have told you these things, okay? I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And there's something that's real important, that we need to have peace in the truth and the knowledge of this. I've told you these things that you will have peace. In this world, look what he says. In this world, you will have what? Troubles. In this world, you'll have trouble. There's going to be battles. There's going to be battle scars. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be pains. There is going to be trouble. It's going to seem like things are falling apart in this world. But look what he says. But have courage. Take heart. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. We are overcoming the world. This world is not our home. The victory, the conquering, is going to be the fulfillment of what God is saying is going to come. He says at one point in time, there is going to be complete victory. Satan is no longer going to have any power. At one point in time, he is going to be annihilated, completely destroyed. Sin will no longer have a hold on any one of us because of the blood of Jesus. And we will be more than conquerors. Not only will we be more than conquerors, we are more than conquerors right now. We are overcomers right now. There is nothing. There is no power, no principality. There is no force on earth that has the ability to stand up the power of God right now. There is no sin in our life that cannot be overcome in the power of Christ Jesus our Lord right now. But see, Satan has done a really good job of making you all believe you're just crackpots. You're just broken masterpieces. You got all these flaws and you are incapable of doing these things. But you know what? That's a lie from the pit of hell. You know why the pit of hell is telling you that lie? Because he doesn't want you doing the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. He wants to keep you as this broken piece of masterpiece that is just sitting on the shelf and everyone's looking at it and oohing and aahing. Oh, isn't it beautiful? But what use is it? What use? And as long as we continue to believe that lie, that I'm just not good enough, I can't overcome, I can't beat this, we'll continue to sit on the shelf. We'll continue to be the thing that is, I'm not going to say it. We'll continue to be the thing that's a victim. You're not a victim. You hear me? You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are a conqueror. You are the overcomer in the blood of Jesus. Do you know what gives you the power to overcome? You know what gives you the power to overcome? Look with me in Revelation. He tells you very simply. Look what happens here. In Revelation chapter 12, here's where it's at. I've already given you one piece of the puzzle. There's only two pieces of this entire puzzle, and I've already given you one. Revelation chapter 12. Go back up to verse 10. It says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, listen to this, I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. This is the point that the whole overcomer, the whole annihilation thing, we're at that point right here. Here comes the power. Here comes the truth. Here comes the evidence of the truth that he's been telling you all along is right here, right now, at your disposal. He says right here, the authority of Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Did you hear that? The accuser of the brother who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. And that's what he's doing. He's constantly accusing you. He's constantly holding you down. He's constantly keeping you from the potential that God has for you in your life by making you become a victim. By saying, well, I'm not able to, or this happened to me, and now all these different things are going on, and I'm just a broken pot. I'm not a masterpiece. I'm just this, you know, this clump of clay. No one will listen to me. I can't do that. Do you hear those lies? I've been hearing them my whole life. I hear them on a daily basis. Do you know what? They're lies. The accuser is there day and night, shoving those lies down our throat, bringing them into our heads. You are not a victim. You are a conqueror. You are an overcomer, and you are an overcomer because of this, what it says in verse 11, they overcame. That's that same word. I can't remember what it is now, but it's the same word. I can go back and look at it, but it'll be distracting. It's that same letter. You are an overcomer. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death. You see, the power of overcoming comes from two sources. It comes from two sources. It comes from the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb has covered you. He has made you spotless. He has made you as white as snow. He has taken the sin of your life and he has made it gone. He has annihilated your sin, past, present, and future. You no longer have to stand in fear before God because of the sin in your life. If you have accepted Christ into your life, if the Holy Spirit that he has given to you is continually bringing the water into your life to make you moldable and shapeable for his kingdom. He says that victory is gone, it's done, it's overcome. You've been overcome by the blood of the Lamb in your acceptance of Jesus Christ. And he says you also overcame by the testimony. Listen to what it says. By the testimony. By the testimony, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death. We're overcomers by the word of our testimony. What does that mean? Well, some people don't understand the blood of the Lamb. It's a sacrifice that covers us, okay? But what is the word of your testimony? What does it mean? What does it mean to give a testimony? And I don't mean standing up here and giving my life story, okay? That's a testimony. I understand that. But when someone asks, what's your testimony? Give me your testimony. Think of it in the court case, in the court of law. You're called as a witness. Guess what? We've been called to be what? Witnesses. We have not been called to be the judge, have we? Has anyone been called to be the judge here of the world? Phew. Okay, we have not been called to be a lawyer. Has anyone been called to be a lawyer? Sometimes I think we think we're supposed to be lawyers. Has anyone here been called to be a lawyer? Excellent. The world could do with a few less lawyers. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're not supposed to be the lawyer. We're not supposed to be the judge. We're not supposed to be the jury, are we? Are we supposed to be the jury? No, we're not supposed to be the jury. We're supposed to be what? Witnesses, aren't we? We're supposed to be God's witnesses. And what does a witness do? You get called in the court to be a witness. You go in, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. They used to put the hand in the Bible. I don't think they do that anymore because nobody really cares anymore. But if I put my hand in that Bible, I'm going to tell you the truth. So you go in and you're a witness. So why are you a witness? Because you have observed, yes, or experienced something firsthand. Okay? You have either observed something firsthand or you have experienced something firsthand. And when you give a testimony, you are not telling about what you think or what you might speculate or anything like that. Because if you try to do what you think or what you speculate, they're going to shut you down. It's going to be objection, overruled, or whatever, sustained. I'm not a judge or a jury. I don't understand all this stuff. But all you're supposed to testimony is about what you've seen or what you've experienced. Those two things. So how are we overcomers by our testimony? By the things that I've seen and the things that I've experienced. How does that help me overcome? How does it help you overcome? By the word of your testimony. You see, what's going on is that as we live, as we get cracked, as we get bruised, as we get beat up, all these different things, as that goes on in our life, we have life experience of how we've come through these victories. You know what? Some of you have faced some really horrendous things. Yes? Raise your hand if you have not experienced anything horrendous. Your life has been smooth and easygoing your whole life. Raise your hand real quick. Just smooth. Amen. All right, there's at least one. So everything has been great. You've never had any problems or anything like that. Right? No. You see, those rough spots, those trials, those tribulations, breaking your leg, breaking your ankle, going through a nasty divorce, maybe all these different things that you've accumulated in your life, these pains, these hurts that makes you crack, broken arms and all. God still loves you. And what I've experienced is even through those things, God still uses me. He still uses you. He's still wanting to mold you and shape you in that incredible masterpiece that you were designed to be. And if I hang on to those things, if I just dwell in my present day circumstance, I'm going to be paralyzed to do anything else. But if I can remember my testimony of the things that have happened to me and how God has given me victory through these trials, through these troubles, through these bad situations, if I can remember and give testimony to those things in which God has already given me victory, it gives me the ability to know that God will continue to give me victory. And you know what? Not only in my own life, but my testimony is not just what happens to me. God, I thank you. I thank you, this congregation. I thank you for the people that God has placed in my life for the last 15 years of my ministry, because I have seen and struggled with you through so many things. I have seen the victory that God has given to you through so many trials, through so many tribulations, through things that seem so hopeless and helpless and impossible. And I've seen you through those things. I haven't helped you through it. I've watched you through it. I know how God works. I know He's able. I know there is nothing impossible with God. Nothing. Because I need you to let you know real quick, you need to hang on to these testimonies. You need to hang on to the memories of the victories of God, because it is an Ebenezer, yes. Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to prepare you. It's going to get worse before it gets better. You see, Revelation, if you read through the letters of Revelation at the beginning, at the end of every letter, almost every letter, it says the same thing. See if I can find it here in one of the letters. I did write them down. I'm better than I thought. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 7, at the end of the letter to Ephesus. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And I'm saying that to you right now. You who have an ear right now, hear what I'm saying to you. The Spirit says to the churches, to him what? To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Look at it in verse 11. Verse 11. He who has an ear, do you think there's a pattern here? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who what? Overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Look in verse 17. 17 says this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him what? Who what? Oh, that's so weak. To him who what? Overcomes. He who overcomes, I'll give him some of the hidden manna. Look in verse 26. To he who overcomes and who does my will to the end, I will give him the authority over the nations. Look in verse 3:5. It says very simply, he says, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. Verse 12 of chapter 3 says very simply, he says, he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. 21:7. Chapter 21:7 of Revelation. He said to me, and it's done. This is the final victory. This is the annihilation. The annihilation. It's a hyper nikao. He says, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The amazing part is right now, you are not a victim. You are an overcomer. You are more than conquerors right now in the blood of Jesus. In the testimony that you have that he's given to you, in the victories that he's already shown you, he has never failed you. He has never left you. He has allowed you to go through these things so that you become stronger and know when it gets harder and harder, and it is, it's going to get harder and harder, that you can hang on to those victories and know that the battle is already won. Please hear me. Get ready now. Decide in your mind who you're going to follow now. Because in the heat of the battle is not the time to try to be deciding where your loyalties lie. In the heat of the battle is a time that you're going to be sifted. And if you have not made that decision of who you follow, who you will die for, and who you are living for, it's going to be so much more difficult. God's given you every tool to accomplish what he's calling you to do right now. The battle isn't physical. It's mental. Prepare your mind. And it's spiritual. Prepare your heart for what's coming. Because it's real. Second Corinthians, and I'm done. As soon as I read this and make sure it's sunk in, I'm done. Second Corinthians chapter 10. I feel like I'm being strong. I feel like I'm being strong-handed. I'm not meaning to try and be strong-handed. You got to hear this, guys. You got to get ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Hear this. It's not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons that we have, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish, you hear the word demolish? We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. The battle we wage is here and here. The battle can be won right now just by your faith in Christ. in the blood of Jesus, in the testimony that he continues to build into your life every single day, victory after victory after victory. Stop believing the lies that you're a victim. You're not a victim. You are an overcomer. You are more than conquerors. That's who you are. It's time we start living like it. Start living it. And showing the world that the power that we have comes from our God. And nothing will overcome him. And nothing will defeat him. Because that's our God. Kind of a strange introduction to this. And who we are. But we got to take these steps in order to start to get to where God wants us to be. As individuals and as a church. You see, this type of love, this type of message drives out the fear of taking the next step. In your individual walk and as in a walk as a corporate body, it drives out the fear of doing the next thing, of taking the next chance, of walking by faith and not by this sight. It's preparation for what he has to come. Pretty cool. I'm excited. Nervously anticipating. Nervously expectant how God is going to work and what he's going to do. I'm going to switch gears here because we have a family that wants help making a little overcomer. A little more than conqueror. They recognize that right now, he's just a bundle of clay, ready to be molded and shaped by the master's hand. And they want to make sure that this little guy has every opportunity to feel the hand of God in his heart and in his life. So I'm going to ask that Michael and Lindsay and Brooklyn and little Tucker come up here right now. She's not coming this time. How are you? Are you good? In case you're wondering, this is Lindsay. This is Michael, Brooklyn, and this is little Tucker over here. And Michael and Lindsay have asked to bring Tucker before you and ask for your prayers and your help in making sure that this little guy becomes moldable in God's hands to become the masterpiece that God designed him to be and to be the conqueror that God is calling him to be. So, let's hear the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Talk about them." I'd like to add to that, how did little Tucker and how did little Brooklyn, how are they learning right now? Is it by them us talking to them? Yeah, that's an important part, but how do they learn best? By watching. By observing, by checking things out. I'm going to encourage you to set the example for your kids in your actions, in your motivations, in the things that you do. Because where you go, they will follow. What's important to you will be important to them as you mold and make them. And the people that are surrounding you here today are also people who want to be an example to you and to them. to walk down the path that God has designed for each one of us together, to come to the place that he designed for us to be ultimately and eternally. The purpose of this child dedication is really to be found in the purpose of the parents, not necessarily the child. Rightly understood, the ceremony is one of parental dedication. The parents are pledging themselves to obey the command of Paul, who in Ephesians says, tell the parents to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So Walnut Community Bible Church, I ask you, do you receive this child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and promise to be unto him a father and a mother, a brother and a sister, and a friend, to help train him and set an example for him in the training of the Lord? If so, say we do. Michael and Lindsay, I'm going to try to slow down because I always get too fast when I'm trying to read things. Do you here this day recognize your child as a gift from God and a heartfelt thanks to God for the blessing that he has given to you? Do you recognize that? Okay. Do you here this day dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you? Do you here this day pledge as a parent that you will bring your child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you here this day pledge to pray to God to prosper and bless your child as they grow and develop? Do you promise here this day to set a Christian example before your child as they grow up? Do you here this day pledge to do all you can to direct your child toward a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and help him to hear the call that God is placing on his life? Can I see him? Oh. I tell you what, I want this dude on my team. Let's pray. Father of all that we thank you so much for life. We thank you for the way that you bless our lives in so many different ways. We thank you for the challenges that you bring to us. We thank you for the blessings you shower us with. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, how you fill our lives each and every day with all good things. And it's all good. This day, I just thank you for Michael and for Lindsay. I thank you for the desire to raise their children, to make their home a place that honors you and follows you. And I pray that you give them wisdom and discernment and the ability to recognize how to follow you best. We thank you for Brooklyn and for Tucker and the family that you have created with them. And we pray for your hand of blessing upon them. This day, we thank you for Tucker, James Ganshaw. And we ask, Lord, that the blessing of your hand be upon him now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. I could hold you all day. May the blessing of God be upon you now and forevermore, little Tucker. Amen. Now don't drop him. That wouldn't be the first time. Thank you, guys. We have for you a little New Testament to get things started. A certificate of dedication. And Brooklyn, will you teach him all the songs that Grandma's been teaching you? Huh? All right. All right. Thank you, guys. God bless you. He's going to be more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Amen. What about you? Are you going to step into that role? Are you going to accept the truth of who God says you are today? Are you going to stop playing the victim? Stop accepting the lies that the world is trying to tell you? And and step out in victory today and tomorrow and the day after and the day after that? Are you going to continue to live in the power of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of what he's already done and what he's going to continue to do in your life? Are you going to shrink back? Today's not the day to shrink back. Today's the day to come forward, to move forward, and do it in strength and the power of God who lives in you. Don't wait another second. Break free from the lies and live in the victory that comes only through Jesus. This morning, if you have a decision you need to make, if you need to make a walk today, I'm going to open it up. I like last week. I'm going to do it again. Let's just make this regular, all right? We're just going to make this a regular thing. This side of the altar right over here, or the steps, we'll call it, the altar. If you just want to come up and be alone with God, if you just need to struggle with him just a little bit, if you need to talk with him, and you don't want anyone else, you just want to be alone with him, right over here, this is your section today during this time of dedication, during this time of decision. You can come up here, and you can kneel down, you can lay down, you can bawl, you can do whatever you want, just between you and God, and this is your spot. If you want someone to pray with you, if you need someone to pray over you, if you need someone to talk to, if you're struggling and you need your brothers and sisters in Christ come alongside you, this is your area right here in the middle. Come up. We're not going to make a big, shouldn't say it that way. We're not going to make you talk or anything like that. But if you come up here, a brother or sister in Christ is going to come up and pray with you and for you and around you. You see, where two or more are gathered, God's there. All right? So if you need prayer, this is your spot right here, right in the middle. Over here on this side, if you've believed the lies all your life and you don't want to believe them anymore, if you need the blood of Jesus to make you more than a conqueror, to start that process in your life, I'm going to be standing right over here. And if God is calling you to make a change in your life in such a way that you're no longer a victim, you're no longer going with the flow of the world, but you are going to be on the path of being a conqueror and overcomer, with the victory of Jesus in your life, this is your place. You come and talk with me. And we're going to help make Jesus a reality in your life. Because if he's knocking on the door of your heart right now, open it and let him come in. This is your spot. We're going to stand and sing a song, maybe two. And if God's laid it on your heart that I'm tired of being a victim and I need to make a change, I need to draw a line in the sand right now. I need to be believing the truth that I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. Then today's the day to do that. Believe the truth of who you are. You are God's masterpiece. You are an overcomer, not a victim. And start living like it, and claiming it, and remembering it, and encouraging it. Start making those decisions in your mind now. Today's the day.